Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
As Pastor Vince mentioned, we are going to continue on in the fruit of the Spirit. I greatly appreciate Pastor Vince and Gary and Carl sharing with you, giving you spiritual food to eat and to consume, to consider these things of God that they've shared, the things that God had put on their hearts. A number of months ago, God had put this passage of the fruit of the Spirit on my heart. And so I want to, even though I thought originally we would be done with it by this time, you know those times when you think you know how things are going to go with what God's got for you, but you don't really know because God's got something else in store. But we come back to this because when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes we do this where we say, oh yeah, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and we kind of forget the rest at that point, right? And we kind of trails off and we can't remember the last few. Okay, so the next 3 weeks are the last few, okay? So those ones that you have trouble remembering what they are, that's what we're going to be doing, okay? Is we're going to go through those. So today is faithfulness. But let's read it as we've been in the habit. I invite you to stand with me and we're going to read together Galatians 5, 22 to 23 as the people of God reading the word of God out loud. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. Okay, let's read together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Amen. You can sit down again. The fruit of the Spirit. As we've said, how do we understand these things? What does fruit look like in our lives? How do we grow in them? What is the evidence of that growth in it? Today we're talking about faithfulness. We're gonna get into some texts to think about it. But before we do that, let's pray at this point. God, Lord, we have been wrestling with many things all week. Things that you speak to us, things that we hear, things in the media, the strife in our world, the strife in our nation, in our homes, in our communities. God, our hearts are burdened by all of these things, and we come together now as your people to hear from you. And yet, God, for some of us, our hearts are so full of all of this other stuff that it is hard to hear from you. So, God, would you break through as we read in your word where you break through into people's lives? Would you break through this morning? Break through the clutter in our hearts and minds. Break through the apathy. Break through whatever it is in us, God, that needs to be broken, that we would hear your voice today in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Faithfulness. So when I was growing up, my best friend lived next door when we were kids. His name was Daryl. And in Daryl's yard, there were these great apple trees that were there. And we would spend all kinds of, all day playing in the yard, climbing apple trees, just they were great trees. Of course, when summer would turn to fall, of course, the apples would start appearing and maturing. And it was great because we didn't have to go inside to get a snack. We just had apples readily available, right? You never even had to leave the yard. And in fact, we would always try to challenge how high somebody could climb. What's the highest that you could reach an apple in those apple trees? And when I was thinking about faithfulness this week, I was thinking about those apple trees. I was taken back to my childhood, to those apple trees that we would play in. Those apple trees were faithful to produce delicious apples every year. And Daryl's family faithfully harvested them and made apple cider every fall. You could set your calendar by it. Family would get together. It was a big celebration. Great apple cider. It was an annual tradition in our little neighborhood. So what was it that made those trees so faithful to produce those apples every year? What did the trees do to become faithful? In some regards, you could say, well, they did nothing. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing significant. Sure, they converted sunlight and water and carbon dioxide, and they produced this fruit through these processes that we don't get to see, but we know that are going on behind the scenes. But it's not like the trees were able to, oh, hey, you know what? There's better soil or better sunlight over there, and uproot themselves and go somewhere else. Or they didn't prune themselves over the years. They didn't really do anything, did they? They just lived as apple trees. And we enjoyed the fruit. I concluded this week that faithfulness is a funny thing to preach on. Now, that might sound odd because it's in the Bible, so of course you should preach about it. But I think it's a rather funny thing to preach on. Because I cannot tell you to be more faithful. It's not really something that comes through effort, is it? I mean, think about it. How many of us have said in life on some issue or maybe some relationship or something like that, that or task that we had, that, you know what, I am just going to be more faithful to this. And then after a while, we look back and we realize, I haven't really been that faithful, have I? Even though I said I was going to do it. See, faithfulness isn't really something that just comes through effort, I don't think. You can't just will yourself to it. So what do we do about that? How do we understand faithfulness then? This is where we need to go to the scriptures. Okay? So a couple of thoughts that we have. You follow along in the outline if you want. So what are the definitions of faithfulness? And here we're going to lean on the work of Christopher Wright in his book, Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that book at the beginning of the series. Some of you have been reading along in that book, which is great. I hope you've been appreciating his thoughts on that. Brilliant guy. Love the work that he did on this. So he gave us these following definitions of faithfulness here. So first is this, that being faithful means being trustworthy and dependable. A faithful person is a person of honesty and integrity, someone you can rely on. I think we all would generally agree with that. That sounds pretty good. And there's a second way that we talk about faithfulness, and that's this, that's over time, right? So being faithful also means exercising that kind of trustworthy behavior over a long period of time. Faithful people have proved that they can be trusted over the long haul. So it's not just having that character, but it's having that character over time. So in summary, faithfulness is the character of somebody you know you can simply rely on all the time. And as I'm describing these things, you are developing a picture in your mind, or God is bringing the face of someone to mind right now who you think of when you think of a faithful person. And it was just happening as I was describing that, right? Because when you hear those descriptions, you automatically think of someone that fits those descriptions. And we want to be the people that fit those descriptions. We want to be the person that someone else is thinking of when they think of as a faithful person. But these definitions, in an absolute way, in a total way, in a supreme way, describe God. They are the exact truth about God. That's why faithfulness is a fruit of God's Spirit at work in us, because there is no one more faithful than God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 to 4, these words we read here: "For I will proclaim the Lord's name, declare the greatness of our God, the Rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God without bias. He is righteous and true." So years ago, I was working on installing a post for a new mailbox at the house that we had bought. And so I'm digging out the hole, right? And I had done a little bit of research and knew that there was a certain depth that I needed to sink this post to so that it would be properly supported for all that mail I was expecting, right? And so I dug down and hit some rock. And so I needed to get like another 6 inches or so to really get this post at the right depth that I wanted. So I'm like, okay, so I go and I pull out my sledgehammer, right? And I'm like, all right, so we're just going to break this up here. And I take the sledgehammer to it. And then after I pick up the pieces of the busted sledgehammer head, I decided that the hole was deep enough. The sledgehammer convinced me of that. Because it turns out we were on bedrock. I didn't know that, but I found that out. And you don't take a sledgehammer through bedrock. It doesn't work that way. But, you know, this was a comforting feeling for us, knowing that we were on solid ground there on this hilltop part of town that we were in. It turns out the whole kind of high hill area that we were on was all about 2 feet of soil above just solid bedrock. You know, God is like the bedrock. Unmoved. Great for building on. It's not going anywhere. It's always going to be there for you. That is God, the rock for us. That idea of faithfulness is who God is. These are the qualities that the Spirit of God is seeking to build into our lives as well. Faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit, developing this character in us. Now, in addition to God, where else do we see this? We see it in a few instances in Scripture. So let's talk about some demonstrations of faithfulness. Most of the people you will read about in the Bible struggle with being faithful. And these are helpful for us because then we realize we don't have to be perfect. There are a few good examples of faithfulness in Scripture that we want to look at. So one of those would be Moses. Now, Moses was not perfect by any means, but in Numbers 12, we have this interesting passage. It's in the midst of a little bit of sibling rivalry that's going on in Numbers chapter 12. Moses' siblings, Miriam and Aaron, seem to be a little bit jealous of Moses, and they speak against him. And here's God's response in verses 6 through 8 in Numbers chapter 12. He said, "Listen to what I say. If there is a prophet among you from the Lord, I make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. I speak with him directly, openly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. So why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Notice that description that God says about him. How does God describe him? He is faithful. And when you read the Exodus story and you read everything that Moses went through, everything that the people put him through, they complained about lack of water, they complained about lack of food, they complained about lack of meat, they accused him of bringing them out into the wilderness to just leave them for dead. Why don't we just go back to Egypt? It was so much easier being slaves. They complained and complained and complained and complained. They built idols. They failed all over the place. God even gave Moses the opportunity on a silver platter, says, you know what? I'm going to wipe them out and just start over with you. Now, that's a temptation right there, right? No longer are they going to be the people of Abraham, the children of Abraham. Now they're the children of Moses. But Moses and all of that remained faithful to who God had called him to be. The temptations to quit and walk away were constant. They were everywhere. But Moses was faithful. Did he always act right? No, but he was faithful to the calling that God had given him. In addition to Moses in the New Testament, there's a great example in Paul's life. Not that God had declared him faithful as he did Moses, but there was this particular instance where Paul showed tremendous faithfulness and an integrity in that faithfulness that is worth looking at. Now, during Paul's life, during the time of his ministry, there was a significant famine in Jerusalem, in Israel, and Paul was traveling the rest of the Mediterranean world, sharing the gospel and starting these churches. But knowing that the believers back in Jerusalem were struggling immensely, Paul felt led by God to invite the churches in Macedonia, in Asia, and these other regions that he had started churches to contribute to an offering that he was collecting to take to Jerusalem with him. And it was getting to be a rather large sum of money. And so Paul, in order to be above reproach, had additional people at a significant expense, travel was not cheap, to go with him to secure and administer to be above reproach here. And we read about it in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 20 and 21. Paul is responding to the church in Corinth about, why are you taking these extra people with you? And he says, we are taking this precaution so that no one will criticize us about this large sum that we are administering. Indeed, we are giving careful thought to do what is right, not only before the Lord, but also before people. So we see this commitment that Paul has to be faithful to the calling and to do it in the right way here. And that involves needing additional people here. And I find it very interesting that Paul was concerned not only about God's opinion, but also the rest of the believers. He wanted to make sure they were being above reproach of those who had given to the need, those who had contributed in this. And so he models an integrity here so that others would know that he is faithful in what was entrusted to him. And I think one of the things, one of the conclusions here is this, that faithfulness is confirmed not by ourselves, but by those who are putting their trust in us. That would be God and others. Here's what I'm trying to say. I can't go around and say, hey, I'm a faithful person, and that prove it to be true. It doesn't work that way. It requires the witness or the testimony of others to verify, am I a faithful person or not? And I think that's one of the things that we see here with Paul and his concern here is that the testimony of others speaks to whether or not we are faithful or not. Now, kind of back to our initial thought here, the development of faithfulness. How do we develop faithfulness? As I said in the beginning, I don't think it is necessarily or primarily about effort. That doesn't mean there's not anything to do, but it's not primarily about doing an effort. Then we see a development of faithfulness in our lives, not by doing, but by just simply being who we are. See, doing, I think, is about the effort that I bring to the table. But being is about who God made me to be and living into that. And there's a parable that Jesus tells us that I think is helpful in this. And it comes from Matthew 25. We're going to look at a part of it, a portion of it, in verses 14 to 18. And this parable is told in different forms and different ways throughout the Gospels. But we're going to look at the version in Matthew 25. And so beginning in verse 14, here's what it says. It says, "For it," referring to the kingdom of heaven, "is just like a man about to go on a journey. And he called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. And immediately the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man who had earned with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." Now, when I've read that over the years, I've often thought that the reason why the first and the second one, did well was through their own efforts. That they worked hard and therefore earned things with it. But I think that might be a mistake to read it that way. Because when you look at the text, it says the man put them to work. Not that the man worked because of them, but he put them to work. Meaning the gifts, the talents here that God gave to him, he allowed them to work. Is he cooperating with that? Yes, I think there's a cooperation there, but he put them to work. Which is not so much about effort or doing. He simply said yes to the gifts that the master gave to him and then lived out of what the master had given him. And that was the first two. In opposition to that, the third one, who did nothing, did so because he was saying no to the master. He's saying no to that invitation. And so for us, that's like saying no to God's invitation to live, which means we are then living an inauthentic life, which is unfaithful to who God has made you to be. See, God has made you and gifted you in certain ways, just like the master to these servants gave them these things. And all that he is inviting you to do is to live out of the person that he has made you and gifted you to be. And it's not necessarily about your effort, your doing. It's just being the person that God has made you to be. Being actually faithful to who you really are. Because much of how we live life is not about being faithful to who we are. Oftentimes we find ourselves trying to be something that we're very much not. When you skip down to verse 21, you see the master comes back and here's what he says to the servants. And this is repeated a couple of times because he says it to the first one and to the second one. But we want to pick it up here. It says, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy.'" So what is it that the master comes back and praises the servant for? If we are to read this as this is about working hard for God, then the master should have come back and said, "Well done, you worked really hard. Good job. Now you get to work even harder with the other things that I've got for you." But that's not what he says, is it? He says, "You were faithful." And faithfulness is not necessarily about effort when God is calling you to be who he has made you to be. And then, in addition to that, there is joy that the master has, and he shares that joy with the servants who've been faithful. That's a beautiful thing right there. Have you ever thought about that? That you're being faithful to who God has made you to be and called you to be brings God a joy that then he shares with you? That's faithfulness. Being faithful to who God has made you to be. So, who has God called you to be? If faithfulness is about living out of who God has called you to be, then one of the first steps is discovering, who has God called me to be? God, who have you called me to be? How have you gifted me? What are the passions that you've given to me? What is the life that you have for me, God? So, let's think about it. Are you a teacher? Then be a teacher in accordance with how God has gifted and called you. Are you an analyst? Then be an analyst in accordance with how God has gifted and called you. A parent, a spouse, a student, a worker, an employee, an owner, a boss, whatever it is that God has called you to do, do it out of God, who God has made and gifted you to be. That is faithfulness. God is calling you to be yourself, your true, authentic self in Christ. See, there are always going to be people who are going to attempt to tell you who you should be or how you should be you. Don't let them. Actually, you can't stop them, but don't listen to them. And I'm not trying to give you some kind of quasi-spiritual speaking my truth garbage. I can't stand that word in our culture, that phrase in our culture. I'm just speaking my truth. And then they get to say whatever hurtful thing that they want to say. That's garbage. That's not what this is. This isn't that. Because it's not even up to you. God designed you. God is the one who gifted you. God is the one who is inviting you to live in your true self. Not the person that your parents want you to be, not the person that your spouse wants you to be, whatever it is. God has designed you to be you. So we're speaking about living in God's truth about who we are. I know in the last week, as I've been preparing for this Sunday, I've been back in the office and in my study. I've had a number of people ask me, "So what did you learn this last 4 weeks? You know, how did God speak to you?" Well, you just heard some of it. Because I've realized as a pastor, and for you guys as whatever it is that you do, this thing that I was just talking about is true of me too. See, as a pastor, there will always be others who want to tell me, or if possible, to even tell God how I should be as a pastor. But the reality is that it's not for you to decide or me to decide. God is the one who made me and gifted me and called me. And my responsibility is this thing that we just talked about of being faithful to be the man that God has made me to be. And not that I always do that perfectly, but I trust that God is growing this in my life, and I trust that he is growing it in your life, that he is deepening your understanding of who he has made you to be and inviting you into living faithfully into that. Now, some of us learn that a little quicker than others. Some of us can be a little bit dense. Some of us need to get away from the craziness of life to learn that, to hear God in it. And some of us are still wondering if we actually understand it yet. And that's okay. But we trust that God is speaking those things to you and inviting you to faithfully live out who he has made you to be. Now, there's a lot of other things that God has spoken to me during these last 4 weeks of prayer and study and some time away, some silence, some solitude, and some good times with God. And quite frankly, some of it you don't ever get to hear because those are things between me and God. And you're going to have to be okay with that. But you're going to hear a few more things over the coming weeks in this. But this is one thing that is near and dear to my heart, is that we need to faithfully live out who God has called us to be. And I think that's really what faithfulness is about. It's not about just more effort and piling more effort. And then when we fail, feeling more guilt. It's about discovering who God has made us to be and faithfully living that out. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for speaking to us through your word. And God, as we go in this journey together, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we encourage one another, as you try to strengthen one another and build one another up, so that we can more fully understand who you have made us to be, God. Would you reveal those things to us? Speak through our brothers and sisters in Christ that we're in community with. Speak to us in these gatherings that we have. Speak to us in our times with you, God. Showing us who you have called us to be, who you have gifted us to be, God. That we might be faithful to that, to who you have made us to be, God. We thank you for it. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.